This is World Lutheran News Digest, an audio news magazine bringing you a look at significant events in worldwide Lutheranism. WLN Digest is produced through the facilities of Worldwide KFUO, a broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod.
I'm Buzz Ulrich.
And I'm Kip Allen.
Today on World Lutheran News Digest.
He served two tours in Afghanistan as a chaplain, or padre as he's called in the Canadian military. The Reverend Dr. Harold Ristow of the Lutheran Church Canada wrote a book about his experiences as a chaplain in a combat zone. It's called At Peace with War.
On the island of Hispaniola, there are two countries, the Dominican Republic and Haiti. We'll bring you efforts from both countries. All coming up on World Lutheran News Digest. After our Fast Track. Concordia Lutheran Seminary, Edmonton, Alberta, Canada, is continuing its search for a new president after the Reverend Dr. Carl Fikencher declined the call last week. Dr. Fikencher told the seminary that he was deeply honored by the call, but regretted he was unable to accept it. In a letter to the seminary and provided to WLN Digest, Dr. Fikencher stated that he has total confidence that God's kingdom in Edmonton and Canada will go forward exactly as he perfectly envisions, adding that CLS is in a position to flourish with its next president. The CLS Board of Regents and electors are currently considering their next steps in the search for a president with a scheduled conference call on March 19th.
Thrivent Financial for Lutherans seeks to open its membership to non-Lutherans. The Fortune 500 company, with more than $80 billion in assets, primarily from Lutherans during the past 100 years, is ready to offer its services to all Christians. Thrivent's president and CEO, Brad Hewitt, says thanks to a position of strength in terms of membership and financial growth, the time is now for Thrivent to serve more people. Thrivent members must vote to approve the change from servicing Lutherans to all Christians. Voting will take place now through April 30th, and approval requires a simple majority.
The president of the Lutheran Church in New Zealand, a district of the Lutheran Church of Australia, has bestowed the Servant of Christ Award to a member of the Manawatu Lutheran Parish. LCNZ President Reverend Mark Whitfield conferred the award to A.J. Buster Kells on behalf of the LCA president, Reverend Dr. Mike Semler. Buster Kells served in many roles, but according to Pastor Lee Crone, never sought the limelight and is just as happy serving on the church cleaning roster as in leadership. Kells also has served on the trust board of the Lutheran Village for more than 35 years. The Servant of Christ Award is given by the Lutheran Church of Australia to those who faithfully hear their Lord's call using their gifts and talents through their vocations in church and society.
It's been nearly 4 months since Superstorm Sandy hit the East Coast, causing damage to 350,000 homes. The Lutheran Church Charities Organization is planning an Easter outreach for the children who were affected by the storm. Easter baskets will be distributed on Palm Sunday that will include an invitation to attend worship services at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Point Pleasant, New Jersey on Maundy Thursday, Good Friday, and Easter Sunday. The baskets will contain devotionals, Christian Easter materials, some sweets, and gift cards to stores. To join in support of this outreach opportunity, click the LCC link on the World Lutheran News Digest page at kfuo.org.
Concordia Seminary St. Louis will hold a reunion in June for alumni whose class graduating years ended in the number 8 or the number 3. The theme for the reunion will be Gladly Learn, Gladly Teach, Gladly Remember, and is open to the graduates, spouses, and widows of graduates from those years. Advanced registration is required and forms must be returned to the Seminary Alumni Relations Office by May 17th. You'll find information on the Concordia Seminary Alumni Relations Office through a link provided on the WLN Digest page at Worldwide KFUO.
This is World Lutheran News Digest. The work by Tihihi Wilongasi, Lutheran Faihawa.
There was a special event held in the Dominican Republic last weekend. A new Lutheran school for theology opened. Reverend Glenn Merritt is director of Lutheran Church Missouri Synod's disaster response and a frequent visitor to the island known as Hispaniola, where the Dominican Republic is located. Merritt says the nation is coming to view Lutheran theology better in the 21st century.
Well, of course, it's the population would say that they were strongly Catholic, and then there are elements of the charismatic movement and Pentecostal movement across the island as well. But I think the most important thing regarding Lutheranism is that people are understanding the difference between the law and the gospel, and understanding the difference between the theology of glory, which points to what I do, and the theology of the cross, which points to what Christ has done. And that's significant for them, realizing that their sins are actually forgiven by what Christ does and not by what they do.
Glenn Merritt says a group of Lutheran theologians who gathered last weekend did so with a special purpose.
Attending the dedication of the new Concordia Seminary at Palmar, Arriba, and spent time with folks from various places in Latin America, but primarily with Sergio Fritzler, the president of the Lutheran Seminary in Argentina, who was the keynote speaker. It was quite a function. We, in our full clergy gowns and stoles, we walked through the streets from the seminary, which is up on a hill, through the streets to Palma Arriba, where the school, the elementary school actually is, and we had dedication at both places, and was well attended by folks even from as far away as Santo Domingo, which is quite a distance. Palma Arriba is just outside of Santiago, the Dominican.
Reverend Merritt notes there was a need identified by a cooperative of theologians.
Well, the inception of the seminary actually came about after Dr. Willie Gaspar was ordained as the first Dominican to ever be ordained in the Lutheran Church. And he did a lot of courses by extension from the seminary in Argentina. Subsequently, regional area director Ted Cray, who is also a missionary with the Dominican Republic Lutheran Mission, had determined that there was an opportunity to do seminary training and to expand the gospel outreach of the Dominican Republic Lutheran Mission by training others there in the Dominican and working jointly with a seminary from Argentina. They have online courses that can be taken, and then they have professors who come to teach. And then, of course, Reverend Cray and his colleagues are able to teach along with Dr. Gaspar.
Glenn Merritt says the facility is a home that has been converted into a seminary building, complete with classrooms and living quarters. Missionary Pastor Ted Cray says the seminary became possible through an effort with the Evangelical Lutheran Church in Argentina. Reverend Cray outlines the current service and itinerary of the new seminary in the Dominican Republic.
Our men are a four-year program. Professors come and teach twice a year in intensive format. As missionary pastors, there's two, myself, I'm a Lutheran Church Missouri Synod pastor, and my fellow pastor from Brazil, also a sister church of the Missouri Synod. And we mentor the men, and then twice a week they receive courses online. The deaconate program is something which is based on an Acts 6 model, in which we have two types of deaconesses. One is in the area of Christian education. Specifically, they catechize and then give ongoing Christian ed, especially Bible courses, to our lay people. Our mercy deacons or deaconesses serve the poor. They take offerings from our altar to our poor and also serve people with disabilities. So at this time, we have 12 individuals who are studying to be a deacon or deaconess. The church plan itself is about 5 years old. We have 5 missions in 5 different parts of the country. And right now, December itself was celebrated with some 18 pastors on Sunday, but they're from Haiti, Argentina, the state, and of course, our first Dominican pastor was ordained 2 years ago, Willie Gaspar.
The atmosphere in Palma Arriba is very welcoming, according to Reverend Merritt.
Well, I think it's important to know that the local folks really support having the seminary there and have really come to value the word and sacrament ministry of the Lutheran Church. And it's become an important outreach not only in Palma Arriba and in Santiago, but also in Santo Domingo, where they respect the level of theological education that these students receive before they go out in the field as pastors. In other denominations, you literally can sign a certificate and become a pastor. But with Lutherans, they respect that it's an intensive education program before you actually receive your credentials to be a pastor.
The seminary in Palma Arriba comes only about a decade after a group of Lutherans that visited the Dominican Republic realized the need for long-term mission work and spreading the good news of Jesus Christ in a country where about 40% of the population lives in poverty. From the growth of the elementary school and now the seminary, that mission is progressing nicely.
This is World Lutheran News Digest. ഇത് ലോക ലൂതറൻ വാർത്താ പരിപാടിയാകുന്നു.
The author George Orwell once wrote, "We sleep safe in our beds because rough men stand ready in the night to visit violence on those who would do us harm." One of those rough men is the Reverend Dr. Harold Ristow of the Lutheran Church Canada, who is with the Canadian military. He served two tours in Afghanistan as a chaplain, or padre as he's called in the Canadian military. Ristow wrote a book about his experiences as a chaplain in a combat zone. It's called At Peace with War. Speaking recently on KFUO's Book Talk program, he explained that it started not as a book, but as a journal of his wartime experiences.
Originally, the book I wrote simply for myself, just to remember the stories, to sort out questions.
He said he hopes the book will clear up some misconceptions concerning the role of chaplains in the military. Chaplains play an important role, not just for the spiritual life of soldiers, but also for their operational efficiency.
The hopes of it were that people can better appreciate the work of what we chaplains do in the theater of war. Sometimes people think that chaplains are simply there to provide religious services, you know, do Sunday services or Bible studies. But we actually have an important operational role in helping people become more resilient in their work.
Soldiers are under an incredible strain, especially in a combat zone. They see and they do things that create a special bond that only another soldier, such as a military chaplain, can understand. The public perception of soldiers is not particularly accurate.
You have the perception over here of, you know, the macho, strong soldier. He's got it all together, you know, emotionless, you know, do your job. Well, over there, all that comes down, you know, everybody's problems is everybody's business. People cry a lot, you know, they open up. Friendships are, you know, deep internal bonds are created between the most unlikely people in an atmosphere of war. It's a fascinating community, a spiritual experience, even for those who, you know, who don't believe, you know, who aren't Christian.
One question many Christians face when going to war is how to reconcile combat with a religious faith. Martin Luther understood this question, and he addressed it. As part of what Luther calls a legal vocation, being a soldier is not only permitted to Christians, but is an honored profession.
Luther wrote a bit about this, you know, on whether soldiers can be Christian or whether Christians can be soldiers or whether soldiers can be saved or something of that sort. And I think as the Lutheran, when we look at our two kingdoms theology, you know, we have something, you know, to say about this, whereas people of other denominations might actually be a conflict between whether or not they feel like, despite the ethical dilemmas about being in a war, can you still, is this really a place, you know, for a Christian to be? For us as a Lutheran, we don't just, I mean, all legal vocations have a sanctity. They're all holy in a sense. And so a soldier isn't simply a vocation that you tolerate, but it's one that you honor.
Ristow saw the good the Allied military presence does in Afghanistan, as well as the evil of the enemy. He recalled one day when his unit entered a destroyed village. They found the bodies of dozens of children murdered by the Taliban because they were attending a school.
This is why we're here. We're here to improve the life of people, and we're invited to be here. And here's an example of something we consider to be, you know, just a basic kind of human right, the liberty to learn, make decisions for yourself, and then being persecuted or killed for it.
The name of Ristau's book is At Peace with War. I'm Kip Allen.
Usted está escuchando el resumen de noticias Mundo Luterano. This is World Lutheran News Digest.
There are two big nations on the island of Hispaniola, the Dominican Republic and the Republic of Haiti. Haiti remains under a tremendous amount of strain in the aftermath of a devastating earthquake that destroyed thousands of homes, flooding that ravaged tent cities set up to house those displaced by the earthquake, and even more recently, the destruction of the 2012 agricultural crops from Hurricane Sandy. Reverend Glenn Merritt is the director of Lutheran Church Missouri Synod Disaster Response and just completed a trip to the Dominican Republic along with Reverend John Folley.
We did not make a trip into Haiti, but we brought the leadership of the Evangelical Lutheran Church of Haiti to Santiago, and we spent 2 days meeting with them. And the purpose of the meeting was to discuss, 3 years after the earthquake, our relief and recovery efforts in Haiti are now ending. That doesn't mean that we don't have a working relationship with the Evangelical Lutheran Church of Haiti, but it means that that portion of our work, disaster response, which I oversee, is coming to an end. And so we discussed how we were going to finalize the projects that are still functioning until July 1st, and how they were going to be able to continue, for instance, the seminary training program and the medical mission program, as well as continue to maintain the three Lutheran villages that Lutheran Church Missouri Synod has helped them build in Haiti. So it was a significant discussion that we needed to have, and it was really beneficial to be able to meet with the leadership of the Evangelical Lutheran Church of Haiti, including President Marky Kesa and the president of the seminary, Eliona Bernard.
The situation in Haiti, Reverend Merritt says, is not as good as it should be.
Well, unfortunately, I would have to say that if anything, in Haiti, the situation has diminished. Even with all of the influx of assistance that has been received, it continues to deteriorate, and threats plus actual violence, gangs, folks that are desperate. You've still got over 250,000 people, by rough estimates, living in those tents that were supplied 3 years ago. And so hugely challenging. And Hurricane Sandy actually was very detrimental there too, in terms of stymieing any type of recovery, because it destroyed so many crops and so many livestock died when that hurricane hit in Haiti. And so real setbacks there. The real positives are the orphanages, because the orphanages have developed into Lutheran schools, and there are five Lutheran orphanages being operated that the LCMS directly has helped support and even build, for that matter, and that's the real positive. The other thing would be the number of people coming to church and the number of people going through instruction and being baptized for the Lutherans is just accelerating by leaps and bounds almost on a daily basis.
With positive growth in the Evangelical Lutheran Church in Haiti, there are other changes that deserve prayers and support.
The Building Homes and Hope in Haiti project, where there are still some unfinished items in those three villages, would be important. And remember, those villages all have, in addition to these very nice two-bedroom homes, they all have a clinic, and they all have a church and a school. And so continuing to support those villages as we finish up some of those projects and as they develop these schools, as the churches grow and expand, would be a really important thing. And then those villages, of course, are used to move people out of these tent villages into more substantial living quarters. And so any assistance that we continue to receive, we will work through the Evangelical Lutheran Church of Haiti to sustain those villages. And then the seminary training program would be another area as well.
Reverend Glenn Merritt says LCMS Disaster Response is reviewing what it may continue to do to help Haitians in the aftermath of Hurricane Sandy.
Well, we'll be entertaining another grant request from three of the areas that were directly impacted in Haiti by Hurricane Sandy. And the grant request that we'll be looking at has to do with helping provide food, which is really in short supply right now because the crops failed, and then getting them through until the next growing period and harvesting period can occur. So that we'll be looking at, and then we'll also be looking at repairing some of the homes and shelters that were damaged by the storm. And we found in this meeting that there are a number of those unmet needs.
If you'd like to help the efforts of LCMS Disaster Response, you'll find a link on the WLN Digest page on Worldwide KFUO at kfuo.org.
This is World Lutheran News Digest.
How can a fungus save a forest? The answer next on today's Creation Moment. And now, here's our Creation Moment host, Ian Taylor.
Nearly everyone has heard of the giant fungus in Michigan's Iron County near the Wisconsin border. The 38-acre fungus weighs as much as a blue whale. Scientists estimate that it is about 1,500 years old, based upon its current rate of growth. A California health food store suggested that eating some of the fungus might help people live longer. Well, since we at Creation Moments cannot resist living things that can be regarded as strange, the fungus is a natural for us. However, we thought that you might like to know more about the armillarius fungus and its unique life. Like most fungi, most of the thing is tiny tendrils growing almost invisibly underground. The honey mushrooms that sprout above ground are merely the fruiting bodies of the organism. Armillarius are commonly found in the hardwood forests throughout North America. The species is territorial, which means that no two individuals will share the same area. The fungus serves as a crucial purpose in the forest ecology. It breaks down deadwood for reuse by other plants. In the process, it makes carbon dioxide for the forest plants to turn into oxygen. Without the armillarius, the forest would eventually die, choked with dead wood. God has designed the armillarius to be a primary recycler of waste wood in the forest. It benefits all the forest dwellers and even those who live far from the forest.
Visit us online at creationmoments.com to listen to thousands of radio programs just like the one you heard today. Thanks to your support, we're now celebrating our 50th year proclaiming evidence of God's truth.
Este é Notícias Luteranas pelo Mundo. This is Royal Lutheran News Digest.
Friedrich Gustav Emil Martin Niemöller, an evangelical church pastor in Germany in the 20th century. We commemorate Niemöller in remembrance of his work as an activist, peacemaker, and more. Martin Niemöller died in March of 1984. Dr. Martin Nolan, pastor of Trinity Lutheran Church, Evansville, Indiana, USA.
He was born in 1892, the period before World War I, in which the German nation had only been consolidated since 1870. So probably his parents would not have known the previous splintering of Germany. And in many ways, Germany was socially conservative, and that would mean that people were taught from early on to give their full allegiance to the king. The army and navy was held in very high respect. The church, it was assumed that everybody went to church, and if you didn't go to church, there was something wrong with you.
During the 1930s, as the Nazi Party took over the German government, Adolf Hitler was adamant he was in the position to control the Protestant church, and he was going to appoint the church hierarchy in Germany. Martin Niemöller stated that he met with Hitler and believed the chancellor when he told the pastor that he was going to leave the church alone. However, once Hitler made it clear that he was going to interfere, that's when Pastor Niemöller and others, like Karl Barth, became outspoken. Numerous Protestant church pastors opposed the takeover of the church and organized a rally.
With this type of attempted takeover of the Protestant church, some pastors were protesting, and they were arrested in 1937. Now, this is 2 years before World War II starts. And Niemöller hears about this, and these guys that got arrested were part of his group. So in the sermon, he speaks out against the arrest of these men. And that was the charge brought against him, is that in his sermon, he contradicted or disagreed with an action of the government in arresting those pastors.
Niemöller became more vocal. The Nazis did not take kindly to his actions.
At that point, Hitler knew that Niemöller was his big enemy in the Protestant church. Niemöller was the leader of the confessing church. And so then they sent him back into prison to Sachsenhausen and then Dachau. And eventually they planned to execute him outside of Germany in Austria, in Tyrol. And at that point, the war came to an end. The American or British soldiers came in, I believe Patton's army, and stopped the soldiers. And so he was saved by the American armies coming through.
After World War II, Niemöller became the president of the Protestant Church in Hesse and Nassau and signed a document acknowledging the churches had not done enough to satisfactorily resist the actions of the Nazi regime. He later became the president of the World Council of Churches and was an ardent nuclear disarmament spokesperson.
And now a laugh for Lutherans.
Lutherans don't laugh.
One day the pastor decided to check out the kids in the Bible class. He peered into a room where the school teacher was busy talking to the children about their Bible lesson. After a few moments, he entered the room and sat. In a little while, he got the nod from the teacher to go ahead and begin asking the children questions. "Does anyone here know what's in the Bible?" One little girl jumped up and down and said, "Oh yes, I think I know everything that's in it." "You do? Tell me." "Okay, there's a picture of my mother when she was baptized, a ticket from the baseball game in Florida, a lock of my big sister's hair, and a coupon for free French fries at the diner by my grandma's."
World Lutheran News Digest is a broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. WLN Digest is produced through the facilities of Worldwide KFUO. You can also listen to WLN Digest on demand at KFUO.org. To correspond with World Lutheran News Digest, write to WLN Digest, 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105, or email news@KFUO.org.